scripture lesson this morning will be taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, 19 through 25. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all flow with wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. For if any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Let me begin by welcoming everyone who's here this morning. For those of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here. We want you to come back and be with us in the future. This year, and you can tell, as has been said already, this year we are emphasizing our theme for many of the lessons is the man in the mirror. And let's see, Wes. Let's try that, because that's not the right one. But anyway, we are emphasizing the man in the mirror, and we're focusing on a step-by-step process. And if you'll indulge me for a moment here, I'm going to get down to the right slide. And that would be it. Yeah, that would be it right there. And this first quarter, okay. This first quarter, we have been emphasizing the idea of gazing into the mirror. I want you to turn back to James 1, if you will. I'm going to spend a little bit more time there in that passage this morning than I have in many of the lessons. We did as we introduced it. And as we wrap up this first quarter, I want to revisit that passage. But we are talking about the idea of a step-by-step process of looking into the Word of God and of changing ourselves as we need to. In fact, let me just say it like this as I get back into the slides. Our goal is for each individual to look into the mirror of God's Word. And we want to focus on self. Not so much in looking around and seeing what everybody else needs to change, but what do I need to change? And so we're really emphasizing, as I said, this basic four-step process that we can find in Scripture, and that's guiding a lot of our teaching. And in fact, we find this step-by-step process in two basic passages. James 1, and also in 2 Corinthians, and that passage in 2 Corinthians will really emphasize in the fourth quarter. But these two passages in particular speak directly to the man in the mirror. Now, I want us to emphasize this morning, Bill read it for us, let's go back and not reread the whole thing, but drop down to verse 21, and let's really focus on these several verses here. Next quarter, we are going to particularly emphasize verse 21. The idea of exchanging, if you will, what is in your heart. So I'm not going to say a lot about that this morning, but our next quarter will focus on receiving the engrafted word. But then notice down, especially in verse 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. We oftentimes, people will read the Bible, and they'll find consolation in the Bible, they'll find help in the Bible, but the Bible still remains something that is separate from them because they are not, I'm not in particular exercising or doing what I see in the Word of God. I may wonder sometimes, how could an Abraham have so much faith? How could a Noah be so courageous in a world filled with people who were unrighteous? The reason they could is because they lived what they heard from God. They didn't just listen to Him, they lived it. And we want to talk about that. Because verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word but not a doer, notice he's like a person who beholds his natural face in a glass or a mirror. It's like that person that walks up, and I said this back in January, let me say it again. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I have. You get up and you're a little late for wherever you've got to be. Anybody ever been late for anything? Boy, do I see some heads. You get up and you're late. You know that all your plans to deck yourself out, take that shower, leisurely get ready for that meeting, they're all gone. You've got to get yourself together in a few minutes and you've got to get out the door. You run into the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you see, in my case, you see that during the night I've thrashed around and my hair is going about like that. Got to do something about that. Maybe the phone rings, you know, something distracts you, you run, answer the phone, you throw your clothes on, out the door you go, and when you get to the meeting, somebody starts snickering and you wonder what's going on. And then you look in the mirror and you go, because there's your hair, and it's going just like that. It's like the person looking in a mirror and seeing what needs to be changed, but straightway, immediately, they forget, verse 24, the manner of person they were. We want to emphasize this year how to not forget, because it is so important. But this quarter, we've started with the idea of gazing into the mirror. Here I am, and I'm going to just approach this from a clean slate, so to speak. Verse 25, I began to contemplate it. And verse 25 talks about whoso looks. And the word there really means to stare or to intently look. It's the idea of lingering as you look. It's the idea of staring into a mirror or gazing into a mirror. So that's the way we've translated it, as several translations do, and we've emphasized it. Whoso gazes into the perfect law of liberty, God's Word. Whoso gazes into that mirror, and notice, and continues. We're going to really highlight that as we go forward. Not being that forgetful hearer, so you're running around all the time with your hair out like this, you know. Not being that person, but rather living it. A doer of the word, this man is blessed in his deed. So here I am, and I'm gazing into the mirror. And that's what we've been talking about this quarter. I'm looking into that mirror. I'm thinking about myself. I'm honestly evaluating myself. And so there I stand. There I am with the Word of God. I'm asking myself questions like, what do I really look like? How does God see me? How do I see myself in the mirror? How does God see me? How do other people view me? What is an honest reflection of myself? Now, let's suppose that I've taken it on myself. Should I decide that I'm going to honestly evaluate? I'm going to honestly face the reflection that's in the mirror. And should I do that? And that is my reflection. Naturally, what I'm going to be thinking is, changes got to be made. If you're joining us for the first time, this was owed, okay? No. I've been waiting 4 months for this lesson, I promise you. All right, now, to be serious. You're looking into the mirror and you're seeing your reflection. You're honestly facing the reflection. I want to make the changes I need to make. So this quarter, we've emphasized. Let's be serious now. We've emphasized several things, several factors that I think are very important, at least to me. And I hope you find these helpful to you as well. These are things that I borrowed, and it's not original with me. These are things that I borrowed from, basically from people that, successful business people, successful dieters. You know, a lot of people, if not everybody here knows that I've really been trying to work on my weight and get healthy and all of that. So just different things that people have set out to accomplish in their life. And I think we can apply that to spiritual things. I want to be the person I contemplate me being. I face my reflection. I know what I look like. I believe I see myself as God sees me. The Word of God exposes the reflection to me. So I want to develop a mission statement. Now, it doesn't matter what you call it. But you need to know who you are, and you need to know where you see yourself being in a given amount of time. So that mission statement becomes that simple, plain, bold statement. We have emphasized in my class downstairs, and I have up here a little bit, but generally the idea of a McDonald's hamburger, regardless of what you think of McDonald's, if you like them, you don't like them, you have to admit that is a long-time successful business. They've had a mission statement in place, and they've accomplished it to a great degree, to worldwide sell affordable, consistent-tasting food to everybody in the world. And they've accomplished that, been very successful. They have a mission statement of what they intend to do every day. It defines who they are. It defines how they are going to conduct their business. And I want to do that for my life. Who am I? How am I going to live? We see that in the Bible. Jesus would often make statements like John 4. My meat, my food, my mission in life is to do the will of Him that sent me. He never forgot that. You would see Jesus often remind people, I came to fulfill a mission, a purpose. I've got something to do. That's why I'm here. Well, I need to do that too. If I'm going to follow in Jesus' steps, I need to know who I am and how I'm going to live. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I do that SWOT analysis, if you remember. I recognize the fact, I accept that Jesus gave me abilities, and Jesus expects me to use them, Matthew 25. So what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What opportunities do I have to grow and to get better and progress? And what threats are there? What would Satan throw at me to keep me from doing that? In short, I just want to ask the question, why am I here? Why am I living this life? What is my life? You know, we hear people say that all the time. Such and such is my life. Well, what is my life? Paul said of Christians, our life is Jesus Christ, Philippians 3 and verse 4. What is my life? George Harrison asked it in a very famous song, what is my life? And I want to answer that question. We've also emphasized this quarter the idea of setting spiritual goals. You know, it's just a list of steps that I'm going to take to achieve where I want to go, where I need to be. It's going to direct the moves that are necessary to get there. You've heard me say that again and again this quarter. I want to accomplish my mission. I want to be who I'm supposed to be. So how do I get there? You know, if you just set the big daunting task in front of you of whatever it might be, I want to learn the Bible. Well, the Bible's a lot to learn. I want to lose 100 pounds. That's a lot to lose. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want my relationship with my wife or my husband to be the best ever. That's a lot. I want my children and I to have the greatest relationship of any parent and child. That's a lot. And if you just set that as a big, daunting task, then what happens is it's not perfect today. You haven't lost 100 pounds by tomorrow. And it can overwhelm you, and you can just get discouraged. So we want to break those steps down. We want to look at it as exact. We want to really be honest about it. Jesus talked about it in Luke 14. You may want to turn over there. What man decides to build a big building project and doesn't first sit down and count the cost, contemplate what it takes to finish it? You don't want to just say, we want to build our dream home. That's great. But what does it take to build your dream home? How do you get there? How do you have it? You've got to break it down and know where you're going. Proverbs, Jesus is echoing something that Proverbs 24 says as well. So you want to break these goals down into short-term, intermediate, long-term goals. Let me give you a quick example. And I said that I would, I'd say this so much you'd get sick of hearing it. But let's say that my goal is to lose 200 pounds. That's a big goal. And it's going to take years. And so I break that down and I say, okay, where do I need to be in a year? And I break it down to a yearly goal. And then I break it down even further. Where do I need to be in 6 months? And then I get down to the short-term goals. And I start breaking that down to a week-by-week goal. Now, I've done that. And I have a very strict regimen that I'm going by. And let me tell you what happens when you do that. If you break it down into a week, and a short-term goal has to be something that's achievable. For me, and you may not think this is a lot, but for me it wasn't just about let me diet. Because I've done every diet you can possibly imagine, and I've lost 50 pounds and gained it back, that kind of thing. I wanted a lifestyle change. I wanted it to gradually come off. My weekly goal is a half pound a week. Now let me tell you what happens when you do that. When you go through the week and you do what you're supposed to do, it's not like a big diet. It's not something that kills you. The weight just steadily is coming off. But let's say you have a bad weekend. We had a get-together Friday night. We had something else yesterday. And all these foods come in that I don't need to eat, but they sure look good, right? And so you get on the scales, and my weigh time is Monday morning. If I get on the scales in the morning and I went up a half pound this past week instead of down, it shows me what I need to do. In short, it's kind of like the age-old question. How do you eat an elephant? Let's say you got to eat an elephant. Big, gigantic. You ever been to the zoo? Stood right, I'm sure you have. Stood right beside an elephant, of course, fence or whatever in between you. They are massive animals. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how you do anything. If it's big, if it's giant, if it's huge, if it's a great big thing that needs to be done in life, you got to break it all the way down to one bite at a time. And you can eat an elephant one bite at a time. We've also emphasized the idea of having an action plan. And this is very much like what we've just said in the two previous slides. But notice the point here of set against a definite timeline. That's like my half pound a week guideline. That's like the reading schedule that we emphasize here. Wes does that, puts that out. And a lot of you are on that schedule. It's not the whole Bible today. But it's broken down into ever how many chapters or a psalm or whatever it might be. By this date, I intend to. You could say that about the reading schedule. You could be able to look at it and say, I will have read X number of books in the Bible by such and such. I will have read the entire Bible by the end of this year. Those are measurable dates. And it gets all the way down into by the end of this day, today. I will have done so and so. Sometimes on my list of daily goals, my timeline, my schedule, it may be things as simple as this person needs to be called, this Bible study needs to be done, you know, but I might also have in there, I need to tell my wife I love her. I need to make sure that I call my mom today. And I need to say, hey mom, just wanted to take a moment to tell you I'm thinking about you. Even though I don't talk to you every day, I am thinking about you. Those kinds of things, they're small things. They're a checklist of things. It's amazing how much you get done when you have daily goals. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing. As opposed to, wow, I got all this to do. You know, it just wears you out thinking about it. But when it's broken down into what I need to do today, it's an amazing thing. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to turn there and look at this passage with me. I'm going to emphasize this more and more throughout the year, but especially in Ephesians 5, and just read it together with me, when he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, the King James says. We'll talk about that. Not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time. I want to emphasize especially these two ideas. Now, let's talk about what they mean. First of all, redeeming the time. We'll take a little bit out of order and look at verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does God mean by that? Redeeming means to buy back. And what it literally means is to embrace or to use. That's what we would say. Let me use my time rather than wasting it. What I find a lot of times, and I think what a lot of people find, is that if they went through their week and they actually recorded what they did every day, every hour, every minute of the day, they could reach the end of the week and realize a whole bunch of unproductive time. And when I say unproductive, that doesn't necessarily mean, and you might think, oh, you're going to harp on entertainment. In my week, there's time set aside for it. I don't want to work. I used to think, you know, the only way to be productive is to work 18 hours and pass out. And what I find is when I try to do that, I get more unproductive. That's not the point. It's just that time needs to be used instead of wasted. And that's what God is saying here. Buy it back. If you were going to waste a lot of time this week, a whole bunch of time, and not get things accomplished that you want to get accomplished. They're on your list of goals. Don't waste the time. Buy it back. At least start buying back some of it. If I'm wasting 6 hours a day and I just buy back an hour and I actually use it, man, I'll feel great by the end of the day. Certainly much better than if I wasted the whole 6 hours. And when the Bible says, see that you walk circumspectly. Interesting word. Actually, our word circumspect or circumspectly comes from a Latin term. And you may some of you mathematicians may especially recognize the idea of circum, which is like the circumference of a circle, around. And the idea of spec, you might say, well, that must have something to do with seeing. Well, you'd be exactly right. And the idea here God is saying is look all around. Be cautious about what you do. Inspect, but inspect in every direction so you can be consistent. Notice how he's saying, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. So that would be the idea if I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at what I'm doing here. That would be the idea of me not continuing to fail. I'm not going to turn there, but one of my favorite passages is Proverbs 24, verse 16 that says, a righteous man, and I ask this in the bulletin, a righteous man or a just man falls 7 times. You know what we do when we keep failing? We beat ourselves up and we give ourselves the license to just go on and fail. And what God says is, no. If you're a righteous person, accept the fact that you won't be perfect. You will fail. And get up! Get back up and go on. Because the difference between a wise man is that he falls 7 times, but he gets up again. But the evil, the wicked, the unrighteous person just falls and lays there. I don't want to do that with my life. I want to look around me and I want to begin to buy back my time so that it will be productive, so my life will be better. That's what God is teaching us. It's kind of like Winston Churchill when he said, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. And that's the idea. Staying motivated to keep accomplishing rather than just keep looking back on how much time I wasted, how much of my life hasn't gone right, how I got into this mess I'm in right now. And that's what we do. Winston Churchill is saying, God is saying, get back up and face the future with a renewed resilience. And so the idea that we talked about last time, and I'm not going to spend as much time on it here, but write it down. If you remember in the lesson we had, the last lesson we had about journaling, and it talked about an amazing thing. When let's go back to the idea of getting in shape and losing weight. And people who would embrace some kind of diet, I don't really like the term, but eating habit. They started out, and they were encouraged to start out by writing down everything they ate. I was telling the folks downstairs in the class, so I'll share it with you as well. Montel can remember this. When I got to the worst weight I've ever been in my life, and I was just consistently going up in weight, I used to complain, and I would say to her, I don't know why it's happening. Because I don't eat. You know, you'd hear these stories. You'd watch these things on TV. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these. The 600-pound man, the 800-pound man. Man, these dudes sit down and eat 50 hot dogs. I wasn't doing that. And so I look at that and I would say, these people are eating massive amounts of food, but I don't. So what's going on here? And then I wrote it down. And it was painful. Because, you know, for a week, everything that went into my mouth. And I mean, if I grabbed 3 cheese curls out of the bag, I wrote it down. And I found out what was happening. It wasn't the massive amounts of food, but it was just all wrong. It was everything wrong with eating. And so that's what had to be changed. Not that everything had to be eliminated. And I'll tell you, I don't diet. I don't say to myself, you can't have this and you can't. I have everything I want. It's just that now I want it consistently. I want it when I'm supposed to have it. And I want a whole lot of what I'm supposed to have. And that's a lifestyle change. They found when people wrote it down, They really faced where they were in life. And they started writing down their thoughts about it. What they could do better and how they could change it. And you heard me say all of this last week, but it bears repeating because this, if you don't start with this, you can set all the goals in the world you want to. And if you can't honestly face all of this, it won't matter. But when you can start looking at your victories and your struggles and why both happen, what hinders you, what helps you, suggestions that you hear somebody say something, well, that makes sense. And you write it down. Once you write it down, it becomes yours. And when you reread it and reread it and reread it, it becomes a natural part of you. That's what they found when people were writing these things down. It's like the psalmist. You ever been amazed, and I have, at how personal the Psalms are? You ever wondered why people like them so much? Well, I think one of the reasons they like them is because they are so personal. David especially, about 73, depending on how you count it, 74 of the Psalms, David writes them. And he is so personal. I this and I that, me this and me that, and my that and my that. And you read that, and when you're reading it, you're reading those pronouns, and it's you. In you, God, I will put my trust. And you're saying that. Those personal entries are journaling. It's just like you writing all of these things down. And it gives you accountability. And what they found is that journalers, as I call them, but people who journal are motivated by the journal to stick to their plan. Because the journal becomes what they're in touch with every day. It becomes something that gives you consistent, marked improvement. Usually on the order of about double the success or more. So I say to people, you want to be twice as successful at anything that you're trying to do? Start writing it down. And you say, it can't be that simple. Try it. It's an amazing thing that you undertake. So what have we said this quarter? You've seen me put this up many times. It's a quote from the Michael Jackson song. Everybody by this time knows I really like Michael Jackson. You know, I do. The guy was amazing. But here was a song, not written by him, but yet really made famous by him. And that's where this title or theme, at least the terminology, comes from. The idea comes from God. But I use this terminology. Read it carefully with me. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. Different this time. I'm going to make a change for once in my life, and it's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself. And then make a change. You're here this morning, seriously. And you're looking at your life. You need to make a change in your life. If you've taken that, if that is your undertaking, then bring the Lord into your life. Confess your belief in Him. Be willing to change. Start making the change. And be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. For everything in the past, wash it away. Let God wash it away with the blood of Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're a child of God, you've been baptized, and now you're focusing on yourself, you're looking into the mirror, you're seeing the changes that need to be made. For once in your life, you really want to get it right. Maybe you'd like to ask for people here to pray together with you. That's always right to do, and we are more than happy to do that with you. Make the determination today that you're going to make that change. Won't you please come while Ed leads us in this song.